Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT proudly presents America's Coolest Conservative. Well, proudly could be stretching it a bit. Welcome to the TJ Ritchie Show.
Well, well, well. So glad to be back in the bosom of you, my radio family. I feel secure here. I also feel like a narcissist because I come in here every night and put a camera on myself. But it's only on for a little while, and then I put my clothes back on, and then it's down to business. No big deal, no biggie. I hate to throw personal, you know, behind the scenes, at the workplace stuff on you here, but Brett Jensen just made me sick to my stomach. That's no joke. He did. I was sitting back there in the loser's room where you wait for the stars to get out of the studio so you can come in. And I heard him rattling off those statistics about Charlotte City Council, Charlotte County Commission, all of the Democrats. And I knew that Charlotte was just slam full of Democrats now, and it wasn't whenever I was, you know, becoming a citizen here in the Charlotte area. And it really just put a pit in my stomach to hear about it like that. Just rattled off how completely infested our governments, our local governments are in Charlotte, our entities, municipalities and whatnot, how infested they are with Democrats. Ugh. I'm only exaggerating a little bit. I'm serious as I could be. If you would have seen, I'm sitting back in that room by myself, and I'm hearing the, because it's one thing just to know that you look around and go, all these Democrats in here, and that's why the city has gone to hell in a handbasket, and you know, you can't feel safe whenever you go into places that you used to be able to feel safe, and you know, you're seeing all of this stuff, but to hear the actual numbers, oh, it's just a kick in the teeth. But I say that, you know, in the most professional way possible. That's why I don't live up in this big, dangerous Democrat infested city. Hell no. Not me. I don't play that. I used to love being in this city as much as possible. But now, I was driving through there, the uptown the other day, trying to get to the ballpark for our big event that we had. And we didn't even have the windows down in the Uber. And I could smell Democrat politicians all over the town. I was just like, ugh. You can smell them. They smell like lies and corruption and shadiness. So, yeah. Technically, Brett Jensen just made me sick to my stomach. Now, here's another thing. I heard him say that somebody asked him why he doesn't interview any Democrats who are running for stuff and all that. I don't think I'm going to ever have to worry about, well, first of all, I'm not a news main like that. I'm not one of the regular types of hosts on a news talk station. I'm not real fond of interviews to begin with. You know why? Because it takes attention away from me. Actually, I have to be so very interested in anybody to want to interview them. I don't interview people just because they're in the news or because they have a popular TV show on or a movie coming out or anything like that. Because if it's not, or as Pete Callender says, because that's how proper he is. Pronounces it because. Anyway, those are things I notice. Love him. Because if it's not interesting to me, it's not going to be interesting to you. So I can also look at it and think, all right, well, they're coming in to promote something, you know, themselves or whatever. It's how it works. It's a give and take thing. They don't just come in here just because they're trying to help me as the host. They're trying to help themselves as well. So if I'm not interested in them, then you're not going to be interested because it's not going to be an interesting interview. So that may be kind of, I don't know. We've never talked about that. The boss main and I have never talked about that, but that might end up being some sort of a bone of contention that I don't like doing interviews. But that Brett Jensen loves it. That's what he does. He tracks them down. But I mean, that's not to say I won't ever interview somebody. I might find somebody, you know, that I run into, at a bar, just an average Joe or Josephine that's interesting to me. I'll bring them on. Like, I'd really like to interview this this woman that I follow on Instagram, well, all the social medias. She lives in New York, and her name is the name of her stuff is Crackhead Barney. She runs around the streets in a bikini top, and she interviews on the street politicians and stuff. I might bring somebody like her up on here, but I don't know. She's got a phone. She could call in. But there are a few. I'm not going to act like I'm Mr. Big Shot or anything. There are a few political figures that I kind of, I wouldn't say geek out over. But I really respect them, and I would interview them. As a matter of fact, I'm working on one now, but I'm terrible at tracking down interviews, and I don't like asking for things. Anybody else like that? Where you just don't like asking for anything? And Isaac will tell you, if I have to ask them for something, he and Lonnie, whose job it is to do the kinds of stuff I'm asking them to do, I'll be like, hey, I'm sorry. I apologized to Lonnie three times yesterday. I said, I'm sorry, this is the last one, I promise.
We have an hour to pull a 20-second clip, yeah. And you're apologizing?
Yeah. It's like, man, because I already told him that was going to be it, and then I just found this other one. But, yeah. I don't like to be waited on, you know, which is a good thing because my wife doesn't go in for all of that. No, I'm just kidding. She cooks, has dinner for me before I leave the house every, it's at 4:30 when I leave the house. So she has something for me to eat before I come into work. You know, kind of like those guys' wives when they were building the Empire State Building, you know, they had their little lunch pails with them. But yeah, it makes me uncomfortable. Like birthday attention makes me uncomfortable. Because most people would be like, oh, you crave attention. Look what you do for a living. But it's not like that. I have no problem getting in front of a crowd of 100,000 people and just talking with them looking at me. But walking up into a group of three people at a function and say, hey, I'm TJ. Nice to meet you. What's your name? That is not me. I get all nervous. I'm an introvert, extrovert. I'm both. But anyway, I that's why I'm not good at tracking down and trying to get people on for interviews. Because, I mean, I'm shooting for the stars. I got big names that I'm going for. Like, I'm trying to get Trump up on this you know, Trump, Ed O'Neill, somebody like that. I like Ed O'Neill, but that was a joke. All right, so we do have a lot of important stuff coming up tonight, and I'm sure I'll get mad at some things, and I'm sure I'll make fun of some things that's going to offend you, or if it hasn't offended you yet, then that means that none of the 11 listeners is a Democrat, being, as I said, the city's infested with them. I meant Democrat politicians. Okay. So we'll get into all the heavy stuff coming up next. Hang on.
More of the TJ Ritchie Show is coming up on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Hey, it's TJ, and the TJ Ritchie Show will be a multi-touch marketing option for all the cool businesses in town. I have no idea what that means. That was written by our business department, obviously, for me to read. If you're a cool business, I guess you know what it means. So go to TJRitchie.com and find out more.
Podcasts and cool social media content. Get all the TJ you can handle at WBT.com/TJ. Now, back to the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Hey, the phone number up in here is 704-570-1110. And you can text us at that same number. One's a phone line, one is the WBT text line. The text line is driven by Liberty Buick GMC. I don't know if you've got anything, any writing utensils or paper over there, young Isaac, but if you want to make a note, that is a very smooth way to hit the sponsor and give the info at the same time. Only a seasoned, big-time, cool broadcaster could do it that smoothly.
Professional radio.
Yeah. At times. So professional. Go ahead and call, and we're gonna play a little game tonight. The game is, what's up? So call or text and just tell me what's up with you. But, no, I was going to put a stipulation on it that it needs to be interesting or whatever. I don't even care. It could be boring as hell. I don't care. I just want to hear from the 11 listeners. Any of you. I don't even care. So, I was watching some videos earlier, as I always do. I'm not all into that whole reading thing. I like to watch. And I was watching these videos, the latest videos of these mutants who are protesting the ICE agents and what they're doing, trying to stop them from doing their work. These maniacs jumping in front of the ICE vehicles and blocking the street and jumping on top of them and all of that. And I'm gonna real talk it here for a second. When I see those videos, I start yelling like a crazy person at my phone that I'm watching them on, because I start yelling, run over them. Run over them. And if they don't run over them, I'm disappointed. Because if you are going to be that idiotic to jump in front of SUVs and think that you're going to block them from getting, what are you going to do if they don't, if they stop? What are you going to do then? You think they're going to stop and then just go, all right, well, you win. We'll take them back. We'll put them back where we got them, these illegal aliens. What do you think is going to happen? And watching that one today in California, I saw people get slung off the truck because they try and try and try to get them to get out of the way. You're going to get hurt and all that. I think they give them too much of a warning. And all right, so we warned you. I think twice is enough. We already told you. You know you're not supposed to be up on the car. You know you're not supposed to be in front of the car. You're obstructing justice right now is what you're doing. So you're about to get run over. We're not going to say it again. And if they continue, bloop, 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 bloop. Run there over. And I'm really not a mean person. I am super, super sweet and sensitive. Well, I'm very sensitive, tenderhearted, the whole thing. I never would consider mistreating anybody or being rude to anybody that didn't, you know, do something to me first, you know. But this is ridiculous. We've got a country's laws to enforce and respect. And we'll get into more of this because I have an audio clip of a low-life senator. We'll get into more of this analysis of that. But what they're doing is they're out there putting their lives on the line, getting, you know, very close to getting killed and injured and maimed and all of that stuff because the Democrats, the politicians, the party bosses have told them to. And truth be known, the party bosses of the Democrat Party want some of these people to get killed. So that way they can say, look what they did to these poor people that were just fighting to have their neighbors safe and not be carried out by the Gestapo and all of that. Now, as long as we're talking about protesters and their tactics, these little wormy environmentalist protesters that go block the road and or glue themselves to something that is affixed. Like I saw them the other day, they glued themselves to the fronts of Teslas or something, and they glue themselves to the wall in these the art museums and all, trying to make a point about the environment and all that stuff. You know, they don't ever do that in states like Alabama or Louisiana because they know that they wouldn't put up with it. Here's what I think should happen with those. You've glued yourself to something. You either get your body part, it's usually a hand, you get that hand ripped off of that structure, whatever it is, by the authorities, or you're affixed there to it. You super glued yourself. You gorilla glued yourself to the wall of an art museum. Clear the art museum and bring in the dogs. And let those dogs get as close as they can get without really biting these people in the face. And just, you know, let them sit there and, as my dad would say, mess up their britches. And then see if they wanted to get out then. The ones who are sitting in the middle of the road, blocking people from getting into work at factories and things like that, the police should have a snake wrangler on call that works with the department that can come out there with a bunch of rattlesnakes and just put them in the road. And say, all right, y'all gonna move now? And see how fast they scram. So you see, that wouldn't even hurt them necessarily. They might hurt themselves trying, you know, by falling down, trying to get out of there so fast. But you see, not only Do they need to be dealt with in a stern fashion? They also need to be embarrassed and humiliated. They need to be, you know, they need to rethink any other time that they get approached about going and blocking traffic or gluing themselves to some building or a car or something. You see, even though they're little wormy, weak waifs, they're still the bullies in this situation. And, you know, we hate bullies. They are the bullies. So we got to deal with them. Make it to where you set an example out of them, where somebody sitting at home goes, hey, I'm supposed to go next week to the Procter & Gamble factory and glue myself to something. I just saw they ripped all the skin off of that person's hand. I'm not going. It needs to be a deterrent. Like, I'm not, oh, my God, I don't want to get bitten by a rattlesnake. I'm going to have to think of something else that I can do to try to convince people and myself that I matter in life. Put me in the Department of Justice. That's what I need. I need to be the official creative lawmaker where I make the creative laws like that. The law is if you try to block traffic, you're going to get snakes or German shepherds about a half inch from your face. And we're going to hang a pork chop around your neck while you're affixed there and you can't move. Pork chops or steaks. So you see, it can be done. We just have to have the courage to do it. And I'll be willing to teach law enforcement officers any seminars or anything that I need to get them to deal with this stuff. All right. So we've got more of this brilliant commentary coming up next.
The TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Hey, it's TJ, and the TJ Ritchie Show will be a multi-touch marketing option for all the cool businesses in town. I have no idea what that means. That was written by our business department, obviously, for me to read. If you're a cool business, I guess you know what it means. So go to TJRitchie.com and find out more.
Identifying liberalism and mocking it relentlessly. This is the TJ Ritchie Show. On News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Yeah, I don't like to brag, young Isaac, but to answer your question, yes. He just said, I bet your music knowledge is, what? What did he say?
Top notch.
Top notch. Yeah. It is. Let me put it this way. My wife never lets me join in on any name that tune game. You know, if we're in a bar or something, or, you know, eating at a sports bar and they have a music trivia night and that stuff. Or one time we were on vacation and we were around the pool at this resort in the Bahamas, and this guy just started playing. We're playing name that tune. And, you know, so I wasn't even really in the game. I was sitting over at the swim up bar. And he would start the song, and then I would just yell it out. And you had to get artist and title. And all of a sudden, I look up, and all these cheap like pool toys and stuff are sitting there because that's what I was winning every time I got. So she said, stop. Let them play. But, I mean, it's just, you know, music nerdy stuff, you know. And I came from the music business, you know, not like a – not like these other hosts who came from learning institutions. Them and their fancy colleges. I went to DJ school, man. So proud of that. And it helps that I'm 91 years old and I've been through all of the music trends and everything. Joe Biden and I graduated together. speaking of that, this whole big thing going on about Joe Biden's health and they covered it up and all of that. I don't know that everybody realizes just what a scandal that is. That's one of the biggest scandals to ever happen in presidential history. You got a man who is, you know, he's lost it, you know, in his mind. And he is pushed out as pushed, you know, out in the public as the leader of the biggest, most powerful nation in the world. Meanwhile, he's got little Marxist minions who are really running everything, and they, you know, pop him full of enough pills to get him coherent enough to make a public appearance, and then boom, he's back, you know, being, you know, zonked out or whatever. And everybody on the Democrat side in the media is acting like this is just some, you know, Trump witch hunt and this, that, and the other. No. A lot of things were decided that changed our landscape in U.S. America. A lot of things were decided by people who, not only did the American people not know who they were running it, they weren't elected to do it, but as I've said over and over and over, it's not that complicated when you look at analyzing politics. You just have to accept that it is easy. And the easy part is Democrats are always wrong. Professional Democrats are wrong, shady, liars. All you got to do is look what the prominent Democrats are saying, watch what they do, and then go, okay, well, then the other guy or the other woman that's going against them or debating against them or whatever, they're the ones I should go with. Because like I said last night, the absolute worst Republican is better than the best Democrat. And that's all you need to know, really. All the rest of this stuff that I do here at night, I mean, it's just, you know, fun time. I can bring you the stories and everything, but the political analyses is just that simple. Democrats, wrong. Republicans may not always be perfectly right, but they're always going to be better than Democrats. Duh. Again, I use the example of Republicans freaking out in the state of North Carolina because Mark Robinson was a terrible candidate for governor. The Republicans put him out there and he shouldn't have been the candidate and so forth and so on. Okay. Still better than any Democrat that would have been running, including the one who won, Governor Stein. Prime example, Governor Stein vetoed a bill that would take away any squatters' rights and give rights back to the people who own houses to get squatters out of there. So people who are robbing citizens of their private property, I mean, that's one of our founding principles. That goes back to the powdered wigs and the wooden teeth, ladies and gentlemen. Private property. And he vetoes the bill that says that the property owners can have more rights to get the people out of their homes and off their land who have just come in there and taken it over. And it was something about some pet store dog type of thing that they try to slip into the bill and all that, which I don't get that either. I don't know why that would be in there unless, you know, it sounds like a Democrat issue. No. It doesn't. It sounds like something that some Republican may have slipped in there that gave them an out. So now Josh Stein can say, hey, I'm not against private property rights. It's just that they stuck that other thing in there, which is absolutely wrong, and I don't believe in that, so I had to veto it. Send me a clean bill, which, okay. But anybody else who loves American principles and is all for and knows what a complete and total travesty that is, that you have to stand by and let some freeloaders, some vagrants steal your property and you can't do anything about getting them out of there. I don't care what other thing was attached to it, pretty much. If it's about a pet store and this, that, and the other, you sign it. It's more important to get people's private property rights back. But you know why he didn't? Yeah, see, you got your hand up in the front row. Why is that?
Because he's a Democrat.
That's right, because he's a Democrat. Good job. You get a star on your paper today. Your mama can put it up on the refrigerator. All right, I'm blushing. I think it's that time once again. We're almost that time. I have another message from my majestic queen, the star of the Congressional Congress U.S. House of Representatives, Jazzy Crockett. So I'm going to share that with you next. But in the meantime, I'm just going to be dreaming of her. Her brilliance, her beauty, her class, sophistication, all of it. So that is coming up next.
It's TJ Ritchie on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT. Late, live, and local. It's the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Loving it. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Yes, I am that guy. Got little young Isaac with me. Lonnie Ray has dragged up again. I don't know why he's taking another night off. Did he work today for somebody else?
Nope.
Oh, he just needed to rest. That's all right. He missed out on the pizza party we had in here tonight. Oh, well. So, my sweet queen, Texas member of the House of Representatives, the brilliant, classy, sophisticated lover of white people. She is, I'm telling you, y'all think that she hates white people from, you know, just because everything she says in public would indicate that she despises white people. It's not true. I know my Jazzy on a different level. Off camera and everything, she loves us. The sweet Jasmine Crockett. And I hope that someone can get a message to her and tell her that I'm passing all of that along. I'm letting people know just how much she actually does love white people. And nobody's buying her little act anymore. You're not a tough girl. You got a soft spot in your heart for white people. I know that. So this is one of the things that she made the news today for saying. She doesn't think that the Republicans are doing a great job.
The country is off the rails right now. People have concerns about the current occupant in the White House and whether or not he is mentally fit to serve in this moment, in a moment in which he has started random tariff wars, in a moment in which he decided to say that we were being invaded by Venezuelans. I didn't see Joe Biden every single day, but I did have an opportunity to interact with the president. I never had a concern.
See, now most people would think that she didn't really want to interact with Joe Biden because he's what? White. But that's not true. That's not true. She's way sweeter than that. I mean, you can hear it. She's just a scared schoolgirl in a play. You know, she's nervous, stage fright all the time. But the brilliance of her statement, she's so informative, and I love that about her, because I had no idea that Trump said we were being invaded by Venezuela, as in like they're staging war against us. I know that they did empty out their prisons and everything to get rid of their, you know, their most disgusting, violent criminals and dump them into the United States, because they do hate the United States. And you know why they hate the United States? Because they know they could never be us. That's why a lot of these countries hate the United States. They're jealous. Because they're run by and indoctrinated by Marxist class warfare tactics. But sweet Jazzy, that's the brilliance of the way she is, because they were asking her, trying to have her be accountable for all of the times when, you know, Joe Biden was clearly out of his head, didn't even know he was in the world, and he was still supposedly running the country. And they would ask her about it, and because she is such a loyal little Marxist foot soldier for the white Democrat bosses, she would have to go out there and say what they told her to say. So, just like any other narcissist, but that's just my pet name for her, my little narcissist, you can't try to hold her accountable for something without her first throwing out a "yeah, but" kind of thing. So, why did you say all those times that Joe Biden was completely fine and he was with it and all of that stuff if you knew that he wasn't? And she says, well, this country's off the rails because Donald Trump and the people running it, Donald Trump waging tariff wars and Venezuela's invading the country and this, and this. But as far as Joe Biden, he was fine whenever I saw him. I didn't see him that much. But when I did see him, he was all right. He was all right. That is classic narcissist behavior. Don't admit you've done anything wrong, but when you are faced with somebody trying to hold you accountable for what you did wrong, that you obviously did wrong, you got to attack something else. You know, kind of like when kids are going back and forth on the playground. I don't think they do this anymore because the society's so soft and all. I think they'd probably be sent to jail if the teachers heard them saying this kind of stuff on the playground, where every return insult starts with, well, at least, you know. So, well, at least my mama's never been arrested for stealing from Walmart. Well, at least my mama can walk around Walmart. Yours is too fat. Well, at least my mama only got one husband. Well, at least my mama can get more than one husband. Your fat mama can't, you know. That's what, that is the most amateur version of a narcissist's argument. Well, at least, or yeah, but. Before you come at me, let me have you look at yourself. It's a diversion. And it also justifies a lot of times, they think it justifies what they are saying, which is wrong or a lie or whatever. And it's one of the reasons that I am so smitten with House of Representative member Jazzy Crockett, because it's, you know, her mind is just so quick. You know, a lot of evil people are intelligent. I mean, damn, Charles Manson's IQ was probably off the charts. Not that I'm calling my sweet Jazzy a serial killer by any means. I'm just saying, people that appear to be no good and have no morals and that sort of thing can sometimes be intelligent. But it's rare to find the level of intelligence in any human like what Sweet Jazzy has, my majestic queen.
Woo!
It's getting hot in here, man. I'm going to take a break, turn that air conditioner on, maybe take a cold shower or something. We'll do TJ on the news next.
More of the TJ Ritchie Show is coming up on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Hey, it's TJ, and you may have heard I have a little talk show now. It's from 7 to 9 every weeknight on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. And you can also watch it on YouTube. That's right, my beautiful face on YouTube. Go get signed up for the TJ Ritchie Show on YouTube. You can do that at tjritchie.com.
Live from the big city of Charlotte, North Carolina, it's TJ on the news.
Hello. That special time of the night when we go around the world for the most important stories. They have young Isaac here, who is allowed to be participatory in this segment. Any other time you hear him talking, he gets a demerit. Only the freedom to talk during TJ on the news. So, young Isaac, if you are ready, lead story.
I can't get no satisfaction.
No one in history has ever raved about their experience at the DMV. You know this. Other than being thankful that it wasn't as bad as they expected, but some DMVs are even more hellish than others. A website analyzed the experiences of people at 140 DMV locations across 30 major U.S. cities to figure out which ones are the most frustrating and the biggest wastes of time. So they crunched the numbers, and these are the top five cities that have the best DMV locations. Number five, Philadelphia. Number four, Jacksonville, Florida. Number three, Seattle. Two is Phoenix. And number one, Indianapolis, Indiana. Or unless you are from Indiana, it's pronounced Indianapolis. That's where my wife's crazy family is from. Not Indianapolis, but they're from Muncie. But they still say they're going to Indianapolis. They leave a syllable out of it. All right. So here are the worst DMV locations. Number five, San Francisco. Number four, Boston. Number three, Austin. Number two, Portland, Oregon. And ladies and gentlemen, please rise in pride for your city. The worst DMV locations are in Charlotte, North Carolina. It says when it comes to the most negative reviews, Charlotte locations were in the top five among the 140 locations they looked at. So, yeah, they had the most negative reviews. Charlotte. Good job. And you know why?
Why?
You know why. We just went over this last hour. We had a whole big session on it. Why things are messed up in Charlotte. Democrats. Obviously, there are Democrats at the DMV running everything. And the governor's a Democrat. Come on now. Everything can be traced back to the Democrats. I'm just saying. All right, next story. Nearly a third of Americans thinks they could pass as British based on their knowledge of the UK culture and their sweet fake British accents. They think they can nail a British accent enough to pass as British. I'm going to say this, and usually I don't ever concede anything in any other country being better than anything in America. But when it comes to actors, British actors are better at doing American accents than vice versa.
What do you mean, mate?
Well, I was going to ask if you could do one, and right there, I mean, I could have sworn it was Ricky Gervais.
I'm going to get
standing
some,
right there.
Some fish and chips after this, mate.
You're going to get some Yeah, I said throwing a little Australian in there with it.
I like to mix it up.
Yeah.
I'm good. A British Australian.
Mm-hmm. Nearly a third of all Americans think they could pass as British. Nearly a third of Americans think they could pass as British based on their knowledge of the UK and its culture.
That was solid.
I could do it. I could do it. I just don't have any knickers. You know, they always wear those clam digger pants that don't go all the way to the floor and those to their ankles, and then those really flat tennis shoes.
I got a pair of the pants back at the house.
You got some clam diggers?
I do.
Hmm. All right. Well, put them on. Take that accent. I think you could do it. They'd be like, oh, my God, is that Prince Harry? No, it's just Isaac.
On his way to get some fish and chips.
Yeah. You would never be able to eat anything else. That's all you could say. Fish and chips. All right, here we go. Next one. This is a sad story and also will probably make you mad story. New details have been released in the deadly crash that killed two Arkansas sisters. This happened May 30th of 2025, and the documents released just now said that the Logan County Prosecutor's Office details are given that led to the crash and subsequent charges against 71-year-old Martha Phillips and her 16-year-old grandson, Ian Phillips. On May 30th, Mackenzie and Maddie Arthur, two sisters from Scranton, Arkansas, were driving southbound on the Morrison Bluff Bridge on Highway 109 at 11 p.m. That's when their vehicle was rear-ended by a 2011 Chevy, according to the deadly crash report. The impact forced the vehicle across the center line where it collided with an oncoming semi and killing them instantly. So here's what happened. The grandmother had taken the grandson off out of town to buy a car for him. And she bought him, it just says a Chevrolet. I'm figuring since they were going 120 miles per hour, it was probably a Camaro.
Going 120 with grandma in the car?
Yeah. But here's the thing. This is why grandma has been, you know, charged with manslaughter. Because he had a history of doing this kind of stuff already. Well, it says he was allegedly doing approximately 155 miles per hour at some points. And his sister, when the police were investigating, his sister said that they had admitted to her that they were racing back from Fayetteville, Arkansas. And the affidavit also says that they bragged about gapping the whole way. Now, gapping, I'm sure if you've been on an interstate lately, it's happened in front of you. It is this technique where now young drivers go as fast as they can on an interstate and they dart in and out of small gaps in the traffic without having to slow down. And it's very dangerous. And that's how this accident happened. So it sounds like she drove him there and he got the car. And they were racing on the way back, and then he hit this other car. But he has a history of stealing cars and doing all kinds of stuff. So it wasn't like, this is my grandson. He's never done anything like this. She knew what she was doing, and he doesn't have a driver's license. Just trash, absolute trash. And now these people have lost their two daughters because of these idiots. All right. Final story. So, 26-year-old Jesse Lawrence Hale was recently treated at a hospital in Logan, Utah. He had an undisclosed ailment. He left his phone behind. That was bad news for him because as soon as the hospital employees found it, they called the cops. Because it turned out his phone was loaded with underage porn. They never would have known because the phone was locked, but he's so obsessed with it, the underage porn, he had it as his wallpaper on the phone. So even when it's locked, you can hit the button and it shows the wallpaper, and that's what they saw, and then they told the police, hey, we've got something here you got to come see. He got arrested after he walked into the police station the next day and asked about his phone because they said, we gave it to the police. You have to go there to get it. So he just, saunters in there. Hey, I'm here to pick up my phone. He claimed that somebody had sent him the photo and said he should have deleted it. He also said it would be, quote, nice to pay a fine or take a class, end quote, instead of going to jail because he said, I won't survive in there. They got a warrant to search his phone and found 20 illegal photos on it. At that point, he asked them to just, please, you got me, but just don't tell my mama. He said he's got family in the area and didn't want them to find out. They booked him on suspicion of sexual exploitation of a minor, which is a felony. And, yeah, he should be put away for a long, long time. No tolerance for that. None. All right. So there it is. That's tonight's edition of TJ on the News.
The TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT. Bringing the heat.
Oh, hot, hot, hot.
Whatever that means. This is the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Alrighty. Hit us up on that WBT text line, as the kids say. It's driven by Liberty Buick GMC. 704-570-1110. Same number you call if you wanna say something. Go on, say something. I wish you would say something. Okay, I'm trying to find the thing that you just had for me up here, Isaac, on my little computer. Oh, there it is. There it is. Got a bunch of messages up here, but I don't know. Where was... This is my first time actually looking at it myself, and that's why I'm just all of a sudden in a daze, sounding like I've never seen any technology before, like a caveman. Because I don't know how to find the messages that were sent to me. There was one in there that I wanted to read. Is it on this side in the middle? Because all I see is... here's one that said, TJ is horrible. He needs a co-host to settle his wannabe bad down. That's probably an ugly person. Somebody unattractive.
You just click one of these over here.
Okay. Love you, TJ. You should be in the morning show instead of night. I know. But love the realness. That's a... an outfit named Scott from Rock Hill. I'll be on that morning show. That's why I'm here. You know, I'm like, I'm like those radical activists. I came in here came in here illegally. Because I'm trying to take over. That's why I don't charge them anything, you know. Keep the attention off of me and what my real intentions are. But yeah, I'm not a night guy. I'm not a night person. I'm a morning person. One of the most decorated, well-respected morning radio hosts in the history of all of radio. So you think I want to be on here at night? Hell no, I don't. But it's part of the process. Now, I don't know whether I'm going to let Bo and Beth stay on once I take over the morning show. Probably not. They've had a good run. Oh, don't think they're not feeling it, too. I mean, I'm telling you, if you are the Hot Shot morning show, and then you hear, you know, and even as close as Beth and I have been over the years, we've been really good friends, but you hear that the TJ is coming into the building, I mean, that's going to rattle you a little bit. It's got to. And then I'm sure they try to tell themselves, well, it's not the same. He doesn't have Ace with him. So, but no. I did mornings by myself before they put Ace and me together. I don't need any of them in there. None of like those 20 producers and writers and all that stuff that they have on the morning show. I'm not going to need all that. So I'm actually going to be saving the company a lot of money. Full-time hairdressers and makeup artists that follow them around. I'm not going to need all that. I don't even have any hair. Just going to be me. But that'll be fun. We just have to keep a sharp eye on that. Here's my friend Double Dub. So it's Wayne from Wiley, Lake Wiley. What's up, man?
Hello. May I speak to TJ, please?
Oh, this is he. We're doing our British accents. Excellent. To see if we could pass as Brits.
Okay, I have a what's up for you.
Okay, so what's up?
All right, so I heard you say that I'm still working. All right, so I got what's up. Worked a 10-hour day today.
Yeah.
Got home. I made smash burgers for the first time on my Blackstone.
Oh, man.
Turned out fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a what's
that
up.
That is good. I love cooking on the Blackstone.
Yeah. Let's see. I got a couple of those. Bravo to you, sir, for all of your sound bites already between the segments throughout the day. That's pretty awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Let's see. I've still got to work for 3 more hours because I had a great day of taking care of customers. I finalized my app with the ATF for a suppressor.
Oh, wow.
That I've been wanting since I was, let's just say, a 14-year-old.
Yeah, that's really
young man.
Cool. Really cool.
Yeah, so that's my what's up. Mm-hmm. And then, if everything goes correct and I can be done by 11, may take my wife on a midnight cruise on Wiley.
Ooh, man. You're living the life, man.
What's up for you?
You're living the life.
Oh, yeah. But,
especially tonight.
Working the life, and then I try to live it every now and then.
Yeah, well, you could be like I am and work the life and then don't have anything after that. So.
Love the show. Listen every night when I can. I think I texted you the other day. I was on PTO for a little bit, but I'm back in the groove, and I'll be hitting you guys up.
Well, thank you, and I see now why they're not letting me read the texts myself, because they're, a couple of them are very demoralizing. They're being meanies to me.
I let that get to me.
Yeah, no, there's some other ones. Yeah, and I do. I let that it rips me apart. I won't be able to sleep tonight with these liberals criticizing me and everything. But thank you very much, Wayne. Hey, enjoy the lake tonight. Tell your wife I said hey.
I hope.
No, wait. Here's what you should do. When you see your wife, don't say anything right when you see her. Just walk up to her and just plant a big kiss right square on the mouth. And then say, that's from TJ.
Will do. Cheerio.
All right. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Great caller.
Yeah, man. He's cool. You know what makes him so cool? He loves me. That's what makes him so cool and how you can tell he's intelligent. Great intellect on that Wayne, a.k.a. Double Dub. So there are some people, I've got to take a break, but there are some people who have insulted me on this text thing that I must seek, on whom I must seek revenge. So that'll be fun. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. So that's coming up next.
It's TJ Ritchie on News Talk 1110 at 99.3 WPT.
Hey, it's TJ, and yes, it is going strong. The TJ Ritchie Show. It's my new political podcast on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. And you need to sign up and get all the inside scoop on everything and get the special little perks by being a member of the Ritchie Gang. Be a gangster. Just go to tjritchie.com and sign up today.
He's radio royalty in the Carolinas and Queen Charlotte's sweetest prince. It's TJ Ritchie on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
WBT. Thank you so much for listening and going along with my silliness. To be honest with you, I've been friends with Beth Troutman for many years. She gets me, unlike when my wife says, people don't know how to take you. But I don't know Bo that well. And so hopefully he doesn't hear about what I said a minute ago about taking over the morning show and, take it out of, or hear it out of context to know that I was just joking, even though I'm not really. Okay, so a lot of people are very curious. I've had the Washington Times call me. I've had the New York Post. You name it, media outlets. I've had them reaching out to me and inquiring about my, let's say, special friendship with my sweet, majestic queen, Jazzy Crockett, who happens to be a member of the Congressional Congress House of Representatives. They want to know, with her being a Marxist and hating white people and all, how we would hit it off enough to have this special relationship. You know, her being an anti-white racist and my being so sweet and cool and everything and loving all peoples. So I didn't want to tell other members, other forms of media, and not tell you first, the TJ radio family. So this was what I said to sweet Jazzy that made her forget or drop all of her other rules, like, you know, never, ever being nice to a white person. And never, ever being nice to especially a white conservative and all of that. That all went out the window when I threw my line on her. She just couldn't resist.
Listen. I'm Ryan. And ladies, if you dress up like Princess Leia for me, I'll sound like a Wookiee for you.
You see, that was my screen name, Ryan. She was stalking me. Online stalking me. And then, you know, once she contacted me, I was like, let me tell you my real name. So then we just hit it off. And I didn't scam her or anything and try to hide from her that I'm white. She knew it up front. I would never do that. I know that's a sticking point for her. But, you know, I talk about all the time that one of the biggest problems that we have in our culture is the breakdown of the family unit. And that is one of the biggest targets of Marxism, is tearing down the family unit, because when you don't have the support and love of a family, you got to get it from somewhere and you're going to turn to the government. And boom, they've got you. So I found this clip and I have a son, and this is a father who is proud of his son. This is his oldest son. He tells us all about it. And the bond that they have, and the special members of society they are, and that this son is definitely going to be a productive, good citizen when he grows up. I teared up when I first saw it. So maybe you will too, but it may just be too corny. Go ahead.
So this is my oldest son. He's 16 and about an inch taller than me. yeah, going into court right now for his fourth violation of probation. Let's see if he walks out. I don't think he's going to, though. Do you think you're going to walk out? No, you don't think he's going to walk out. This sucks.
That sucks, dude.
Okay, so the dad looks like he has had a long and fruitful career working as a professional carny, traveling, you know, all over this great land of ours. Even in the winter, he has summer teeth. Just giving you the mental image of, you know, what it looks like. So in the winter, he's got summer teeth. Some are here, some are not. The son has bright, bright green hair. He's got a scowl on his face. He's wearing some sort of, it looks like an airbrushed T-shirt or something. And when he asks him, you think you're going to walk out of here? He just glares at it, at his dad. Like, I got to go in here and deal with all these people, and you got a camera in my face. But the dad was trying to get some footage of him because he's not going to see him for a while. It's his fourth parole violation. I just thought it was so sweet. Such an Andy Opie kind of moment, you know. Speaking of Andy Griffith, I did something the other day that I feel so badly about. Young Isaac sent me a video clip of a scene from the Andy Griffith Show. And it was a really good scene. And Andy was, you know, being so sincere and teaching a lesson and all. And it was just a great lesson for, you know, anybody who wants to make our society great. So I responded to Isaac and I said, yeah, that was great. It's a shame Andy Griffith was such a, what did I say? Such a rotten liberal or liberal jerk or something like that. And Isaac had no idea and it crushed him.
Crushed my soul.
You know, you got a boy here that growed up in North Carolina.
Born and raised.
Growed up loving Andy because Andy's from his state. And some grouchy old man ruins it for him by letting the cat out of the bag that Andy Griffith was a not a nice person and he was a crazy liberal.
Never watched that show again.
Hollywood liberal.
What a shame.
Mm-hmm. I believe the last time I saw him on TV, like where he was not reruns or anything, but it was, you know, modern day at the time, was when he made commercials endorsing Erskine Bowles for office. And Erskine Bowles worked for the Clinton administration, if I'm not mistaken. But I know he was the Democrat in the race, whatever it was. But, yeah, Andy Griffith was a Hollywood liberal. Sorry. I probably just lost at least three of the 11 listeners because they don't want to hear that.
The truth hurts sometimes.
Yeah.
But we need to know it.
And again, I don't care how great a person appears to be on TV or anything like that. If they're a liberal, they're a liberal. And people need to know that. Because that's their principles. That's how they act. That's what they believe. That's how they live. But liberals get mad when you say that. Like, you should be proud of what you are. Why you always got to act like, you know, you've been offended if somebody calls you a liberal? I don't get offended when somebody calls me a conservative. As a matter of fact, my sweet Jazzy Crockett always, you know, making jokes at my expense about being conservative. Calling me all kinds of racial insults and everything. Mm. I don't care. Because I know who I am. I'm comfortable with it. And, you know, I try not to fit into any stereotype or anything, even though right now I'm fitting into a big time stereotype. I'm an old man wearing Hey Dudes. I got my Hey Dudes on tonight. So that's an old man thing. That's the typical old man thing.
I have a pair.
Yeah. Not all young guys have them, but all old men have them.
Hey, any of you kids seen my Hey Dudes?
They're on your feet, Grandpa.
Yeah, I don't feel like bending over and putting on socks today. I'm kind of down in my old back.
So, we've learned a lot in that one segment, haven't we? We've learned how to bond with your teenage son. We've learned how to throw a line on the chicks that they won't be able to resist. And we learned the, what was the heart of Andy Griffith in real life? Look at that. I mean, we're just a full-on, well-rounded show here. And you know what? We've got more of it coming up next.
The TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT. He's America's coolest conservative. Welcome to the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Jess. The phone number here is 704. I'm sorry, let me slow down a little bit. I slipped into full-on DJ mode there. 704-570-1110. And that's also the number to our texting. So text up in here. This is very sweet. This is from Ashley. She says, Ashley here. And what's up, TJ? I'm a first time, long time, and my America's Coolest Conservative t-shirt arrived today. Really enjoying you on the different format. Praying this continues to bring you, WBT and the gang, many years of hearing you on the radio. Thank you so much, Ashley. Now, to what she is referring is a t-shirt that I have that you can go buy that it's patriotic looking and it says America's Coolest Conservative. I designed it so you wear it as if you're saying that you are America's coolest conservative. So I didn't splash my name all over the front of it or anything. I have a logo that's on the back of it, up at the collar. It's not, you know, it's not even covering the whole back of the shirt or anything. It's subtle. Cause I want you to make a statement. I want you to make a statement about me. And all my manager was, he was fighting me on that. It's like, you got to put your logo on the front. It has to, you know, prominent on the shirt. No, it doesn't. This is for the people. This is for my family. So just go to TJ Ritchie, RITCHIE, TJRitchie.com. And there are banners right there on the front page. It'll take you right to it. Made here locally in Charlotte. The company we work with on that, it's called 704 something another. They're really cool. Really cool. There is a situation going on in business in United States that is not a good trend. It is not a good sign. And that is a new report talks about the companies should be concerned because no one wants to be a supervisor anymore. Now, that means people who are already supervisors don't want to be supervisors because the people that work for them are, they don't gel. And it's a lot more difficult to run a business as a supervisor now than it was before wokeness happened and all of that kind of stuff. But to add to that problem is that when they're quitting or retiring or moving on to do something else, there aren't any young people that want to take their place as supervisors. These Gen Zers have no desire to be in charge of anything. They just want to do what they do, not talk to anybody, go on about their business. Actually, probably giving people the Gen Z stare. You know, that's a thing now, the way when you try to communicate with a lot of the really young people, the Gen Z, they just stare at you like they don't know what to say, because they've grown up in just locked in their bedrooms. They communicate by typing, not by speaking. So that is a problem. Somebody's got to be boss. But one of the things that's not just that the Gen Z has been raised, you know, being able to just sit in their rooms all the time. They've also been raised in a culture that has told them that you need to get advice before you do anything, before you make a move for anything. You need to ask around, ask your therapist. You can't just go by your instinct. You've got to check with everybody you know, and including your therapist, because they all have therapists, because that's been pushed into them that, you know, even if you don't have any, you don't think you have any problems, it's always good to just talk to people and continue to maintain your good thoughts and feelings and all of that stuff. Yeah. So there's a singer named Olivia Rodrigo, and she's on tour, and she said in an interview the other day that she pays for every member of her band, every member of the crew, everybody to have therapy while they're on the road. That's what a big deal it is to the younger millennials and the Gen Z. They've grown up in a society of everybody being in therapy, because everybody needs therapy. Everybody can use therapy, even if you don't think you need it. I know young peoples who look when they're on dating sites and stuff. They put that as one of their stipulations, that the person needs to be in therapy. Are you kidding me? That used to be the thing to say, God bless them. I hope things work out, but I don't want to just step into, you know, any kind of heavy situation like that. Now, it's like, you're not in therapy? Well, then you obviously don't care about yourself or anybody that has to deal with you. I don't want to date you. It's crazy. But now you've got a whole generation of young adults who look at everything like, I want to do what they tell me to do, and I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to go home. I don't want to be responsible for making decisions. I mean, I've seen Gen Z young adults in the grocery store going out of their minds because they can't decide on which brand of whatever they're looking for. Just standing there and sweating. Because there's not, you know, their parents or a therapist or a teacher or somebody standing there telling them which way to go. They put this pressure on themselves. It's crazy. Isaac, you want to be a boss? You seem like the type that would want to be a boss.
Yeah, I had old school parents, so luckily I avoided a lot of this mess that most of my generation is going through.
But I was thinking the first night we worked together, I thought, you know what? That's a good young man, got his head on straight, seems to be, have a pretty good outlook of the world and all that. But he could use therapy. That's what I thought.
You know, it's funny.
As a matter of fact, I went and told the program director that unless you start getting therapy, I don't want you working in here, because that just means, If you deny therapy, then you don't really want to be the best you can be.
I was wondering why Mike was asking me how I was doing.
Did he say, come lie on my couch?
He did. He did. I had to lay across two chairs, but.
Now, look, I'm not making fun of therapy if people really need it. Not at all. Because, believe me, I got a lot of people in my family that really, really need it. You know. But I'm talking about forcing therapy onto people when they don't need it just because they want to make money in that industry. And they've conditioned all of these young people to think that they can't live their lives and make their own decisions. It's cruel, actually, and detrimental to the rest of us who, I mean, you always have to rely on the next generation coming up to run things, you know? If everybody's too scared to run anything, then what do we do? You think that goes back to the big plan overall from the American Marxists? Make people withdrawn, make them where they're insecure, get them out of church, no faith but faith in government, no family life, no structure, support. Just, you know, holding out government candy for those babies and just wheeling them in, reeling them in. Mm-hmm. I've been a boss my whole life. A lot of people don't know that. Actually, they call me a kingpin. Oh, that's that little kingpin. Okay. Thank you for listening tonight. Thanks for being part of the TJ Radio family. And I'm not thanking all you people that sent in rude texts. Y'all can go kick rocks. Probably all ugly and jealous. Mark Levin is coming up next. God loves you, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. See you tomorrow. Hey, it's TJ, and you may have heard I have a little talk show now. It's from 7 to 9 every weeknight on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. And you can also watch it on YouTube. That's right, my beautiful face on YouTube. Go get signed up for the TJ Ritchie Show on YouTube. You can do that at TJRitchie.com.